You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. We're joined now by on the phone from WCSX in Detroit and also writes for the Detroit Free Press, Jamie Samuelson. Jamie, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Good. Jamie, we want to talk because I'm very interested by this article that you wrote, and it's titled, My Guess, Lions Will Win the Title, Will Win Title Before Pistons Do.
Yes.
And I think this is a very interesting topic because of where both franchises lie at this point. And we'll start here. Now that Gores has signed on to own the Pistons, do you still hold that opinion?
That's a great question, because when I wrote it, it was obviously still up in the air.
Yes.
As to who would buy the team. Well, it seemed like Gores would, but it certainly wasn't done yet. And let me just preface this by saying this is one of those ridiculous barroom sports radio debates. And I've worked in sports radio for 15 years, so when I say that, I'm not mocking sports radio at all. I think it's kind of fun to have these debates. It's impossible to prove. It's impossible to know the right answer, and it's just kind of a fun thing to banter about with. But with the NBA, I guess I'm a little bit concerned at the direction the NBA seems to be headed in the last couple of years, where, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade decide they want to play together in Miami along with Chris Bosh, and Carmelo Anthony essentially dictates a trade to the New York Knicks when there are other teams obviously very interested, particularly the New Jersey Nets. It seems like the players are getting more and more control of how they're going to construct their teams, and we have yet to see that happen in Detroit, with I guess the minor exception of the mid part of the last decade where, you know, Rasheed Wallace came here in a trade and chose to stay here, and Antonio McDyess sought to come here. But I don't think Rasheed Wallace and Antonio McDyess are quite in the stratosphere of the super duper stars. And it just seems like we're heading towards a league where L.A., Boston, Chicago, maybe Miami and Orlando are going to kind of be the power players. And I think Detroit's kind of on the outside looking in. Now we have to do a new collective bargaining agreement coming, so that might change things, but that's the direction we're headed. To contrast that with the NFL, where New Orleans is winning and Tampa Bay won about 8 years ago, and you have teams that aren't exactly large market teams that are able to construct championship teams. It just seems like it's easier to do that in the NFL than the NBA.
Hey, Jamie, it's Scott. Now, the Pistons are going to have a lottery pick. Say they get lucky and maybe they can get Derek Williams or Kyrie Irving. That'd be one superstar, but what is there on the team that you can really build around right now?
Well, that's just it. When the Pistons started this whole reconstruction process back in 2000 and 2001, you know, they had Jerry Stackhouse, and we can all mock Stackhouse and what he turned into, but at the time he was an all-star.
He was a good player.
And Joe Dumars, pardon me?
He was a good player. I was agreeing with you.
He was a good player, yeah. And Joe Dumars was able to turn him into Richard Hamilton, who is a malcontent now, but for the better part of the last decade was a very good shooting guard and really helped the Pistons win a lot. I don't know who that guy is on that team right now. The only guy who I think is worthy to build around is Greg Monroe, who I think had a very good rookie year, but certainly not a dominant rookie year. You don't look at Greg Monroe and go, oh yeah, he's on his way to being an NBA superstar. I think he's a good player, and I think he's somebody to keep, but there's not that one piece you can build around. So I think the Lions have a plan. I really do. Now, it's the Lions, and so we're all very cynical, and I totally understand that, and that's why it's a bit of an outlandish opinion. The Pistons, I don't know what their plan is, and like you alluded to, maybe the plan will start to materialize with Tom Gores in place. Maybe he replaces Dumars, almost certainly replace John Kuster, but they're really going to have to get lucky. I mean, the Pistons to win got lucky. They did. I mean, Joe Dumars, give him all the credit in the world, but he got lucky to get Ben Wallace, not knowing what Ben Wallace would become. He kind of got lucky with Chauncey Billups, too, because here was a journeyman who all of a sudden turned into an MVP-caliber point guard. I don't think anybody in the NBA saw that coming. So you do have a little bit of luck, and that's kind of what you're alluding to, if they could somehow get a Derek Williams to go along with it. But let's say they have Derek Williams and Greg Monroe. Terrific. They still don't have a dominant center or any sort of center. They still don't have anybody in the backcourt who you can really consistently look to put up 20 points a game, and I just think that that's such a long way to go.
And that's where I wanted to go to next. We're talking with Jamie Samuelson from WCSX in Detroit. He also writes for Freep.com. And do you think that the Pistons are willing, and Tom Gores now would be willing, to revamp everything?
I think they have to. I mean, you guys know it's a dead team right now, and in the blog you're alluding to that I wrote, I kind of prefaced it by saying I was at a restaurant on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, and the Pistons were playing, and there were three TVs on, and not a single game was turned to the Pistons game, and it's not like the Red Wings were playing, the Tigers weren't playing. There was a Penguins game on and a soccer game on, and nobody even thought to turn on the TV. I just think right now in this market, it's a pretty sleepy team. People aren't going to the game. They don't care about the team. And then to make matters worse, these guys have acted like such petulant babies at times this year, particularly Rodney Stuckey and to a lesser extent Richard Hamilton, that they've really turned off the fan base. So, yes, I think Gorse will change things dramatically, and I almost think he has to change things dramatically. I mean, I know I'm in the minority when I say this. I'd love to see Joe Dumars get a chance to fix this thing because I think he could, but that's a pretty hard position to defend based on what's happened the last few years with draft picks and with coaching moves and particularly the two big contracts he gave to Charlie Villanueva and Ben Gordon. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gorse comes in and pretty much cleans house. If he wants to create some sort of Hollywood atmosphere, which is what everybody seems to think at the Palace, he's got to start dramatically because right now it is the deadest arena. It's deader right now than it was in like the late 90s when George Irvin was the coach and nobody seemed to really care about Grant Hill. This is much worse than it was then.
Jamie, I love the point that you're bringing up about fans because I've often argued that if the Detroit Lions ever started becoming a consistent playoff team, everything else in Detroit would shut down as far as sports go and people would pay attention to the Lions. So let's say the Lions and the Pistons become playoff teams, both of them. Would anybody, like, compare the ratings between the two? Would anybody compare about the Pistons compared to the Lions?
You're 100% right. I agree with you completely. I mean, you know, they call this Hockey Town because it's a marketing slogan, and we all know it's a great Tiger Town, baseball town, and you guys know as well as anybody up there that college football matters as much as to Michigan and Michigan State fans, but this is such a Lions town. And, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed this doing sports radio in Lansing, but I know from doing it in Detroit, you know, the Pistons, even when they won in 2004, it was a big deal. People were into it. But if you said, all right, now who do you think the Lions are going to take in the draft, boom, you know, you'd have all your phone lines going, people would be hopping. I mean, people care so much about the Lions. It's just remarkable. So it's not even close. Now, granted, they'd be doing it at different times of the year. If the Lions were in the playoffs in January and the Pistons were in April, they'd care about it. You know, there'd be a lot of passion for both events taking place. But, you know, I've lived in Detroit for 16 years, and by far the coolest thing I ever saw was the Wings winning in 1997 and the kind of the quest for the cup ending and that long drought and Stevie Y and everything. And that was awesome. It was really one of the coolest things, and they say a million people came to downtown Detroit to see the parade. What, 5 million would be there for a Lions parade? I mean, it wouldn't even be close. It's so far and away the Lions, and that's why, and granted, I'm overreacting a bit, I think, to four wins towards the end of the season, four-game winning streak, but that's why so many people are so excited about the team, is that they do seem to be showing signs of being on the uptick. So the ultimate tragedy would be if a lockout comes and the 2011 Lions can't play. I mean, I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll get something done before the actual regular season starts, but it's a phenomenon. I've never quite seen it before.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that you might be overreacting. That's kind of our general theme to the show today with the first week in baseball and everything. But I want to stick there with the Lions. You mentioned the draft and who do you think the Lions will take in the draft? What do they need the most to get to that next level you talked about in your piece?
I think they definitely need guys in the defensive backfield. I would love to see, you know, one of the top guys slip down to them, and in some of the mock drafts that I've seen in the last week, I'm sure you guys have seen too, that's what seems to be happening, or they think is going to happen, but, you know, that what they say and what actually happens sometimes are two different things because you don't know how the teams are going to go ahead of them. But I think what they showed down the stretch last year with injuries to Matthew Stafford and really to Calvin Johnson, who I think people kind of forget didn't play the last, you know, week and a half, their offense is pretty capable. I don't think their offensive line is great by any stretch, but, you know, they can do the job. I'd love to see them add an offensive lineman, but the back part of that defense, the linebacking core and the secondary, it's just, there's just not enough depth there. I mean, last year, Martin Mayhew and Jim Schwartz, they bolstered that defensive line to such a ridiculous degree that even when guys went down like Vandenbosch, they were still able to plug in other guys and really not lose a step. So I'd love to see them take that same kind of greedy attitude and just stockpile as many defensive backs and linebackers as they possibly could, because defensively, they were much better than I thought they were going to be, thanks largely to the defensive line. And that's even with all the injuries they suffered. I mean, Louis Delmas really wasn't healthy the entire year. By Vandenbosch, who was kind of their leader in the first few weeks, went down it by midseason, and they were still able to put up, you know, pretty decent defense down the stretch. So that's where I'd love to see him go, but I guess we'll see what happens. And the whole thing with free agency, too, is just such a cluster because we don't know, you know, when it's going to happen. And when it does happen, what will teams look like? Because they'll already have made their draft picks.
Jamie Samuelson from WCSX in Detroit and also Freep.com. You mentioned Matthew Stafford. I look at his injury, and I want so badly for him to be okay. But I also have some friends that are doctors who say the separation that he has, he could re-separate at any moment without any contact, basically. So if that were to happen and they would have to pass on Matthew Stafford real quickly, how many years would that set back their progress?
Oh, gosh. I mean, from the financial standpoint, I couldn't even begin to know because of how much money they have committed, how much guaranteed money they've committed to Matthew Stafford. So that's the one hard part. And the other hard part is, yeah, they start with a quarterback. And, you know, that was the first pick of Martin Mayhew and Jim Schwartz of that regime. So, I mean, that's the centerpiece of everything you're trying to build. And what you're saying is you have to start basically all over from scratch. Now, I like, again, what they did last year. They realized you don't just win with a quarterback. You have to build up the line, build up the offensive line. But it would probably change the tenor of my column.
Hey, Jamie, we appreciate it, man. We got to go. We're on a hard break. But we appreciate it. Jamie Samuelson, WCSX. We'll be back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.